Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, the garage is officially open here at Frat House Sports on, we're looking at week two of the chase. That's where we are. September 25th, coming at you right now. Frat House Mike here with you in the Frat House Sports Garage, and we're going to sit here for the next 90 minutes or so, try to get you ready for what we can expect up in New Hampshire here this afternoon. As Chicagoland is, just like that, boom, there goes Chase Race number one. That's in the books. And
boom, there goes another
exactly.
Win.
Oh, I was going to mention that. But yes, okay, you beat me to it. It should be coming from you. It'd be easy enough for us to sit here and say, well, hey, there's nine races remaining. That's easy enough. But really, when it comes right down to it, for four drivers, there's just two races remaining. Because that's how, of course, the chase is going to work here. We're going to get four drivers lopped off here 2 weeks from now. And so we're going to be taking a hard look at the leaderboard. There's a couple of names down there at the bottom that are a tad bit surprising. A couple of names up near the top that did very, very well last week in Chicagoland, and we'll get into those as well. Martin Truex, however, will not be one of them who will be cut off after Chase race number three because, well, he got a win last week at Chicagoland. Okay.
I
don't know. Listen, we could say, hey, Martin Truex drove a good race. We could say, hey, he did a fine job of winning that race. We could say, hey, thanks to him, he continues to be in the chase. Is it thanks to him, though, or is it thanks to NASCAR, as usual? Hey, just going and changing the rules whenever they feel like. I'm going to tell you something. Rules changes were the talk of this week in the media, in NASCAR media. That's all that was being talked about. Must have been a slow news week. I'll tell you something. It was a slow news week in NASCAR, and I can prove it. I can prove it was a slow news week. Wait till you hear some of the headlines I'm going to be bringing to the table here today. But as I pointed out, Chase race number two, here today in New Hampshire, Toyotas and Chevys on parade in the qualifying lineup. Interestingly, though, some of those Chevys are not the Chevys you would suspect. We'll talk about that. Hey, NHRA right now is also in their own playoff. The countdown is going. They had their first event last week. They're into their second event this week in St. Louis, and we'll get a little bit of an update on that one as well. We have to update our fantasy chase. We have to get sidekicks picks, and we have to take a look at what's happening with our own Eat My Dust picks, which right now it's a race for number one, and then after that it's a race for number three. That's about it. If anybody wants to jump in with us here today, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here in the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or quicker and easier way to get a hold of us, hey, just hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. You can do that as well. Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me. Otherwise, let's get the rest of the mechanics in here. I'm going to be relying on both you guys today a lot because I'm going to tell you something. My allergies this morning have been absolutely horrible. I'm surprised I haven't been sneezing and coughing so far through the first, what are we in, 5 minutes? I think I've gone through half a box of tissues already just this morning. Honestly, God, absolutely horrible this morning. So, Sidekick and Brandon, I'm going to be relying on both of you. We ready to rock and roll?
Sure,
okay. I just made an impassioned plea, and these guys are sounding a little less than lively. All right.
It is
so,
early, as Sidekick pointed out.
All right. So as we pointed out here, Truex got the win last week. He led 32 laps. I'm going to be honest with you. For the longest time, it really looked like, I mean, you know, Chase Elliott led 75 laps. I'm thinking for the longest time, okay, Chase is going to get a win here. Wouldn't this be really cool? About, I mean, it was something, Sidekick, you and I had even talked about last week here as we were getting ready for Chase race number one. That, boy, wouldn't it be neat, we both said, if Chase Elliott got his first win, NASCAR win, in the Chase. Wouldn't that be neat? I thought for the longest time it might have been. Jimmy Johnson led 118 laps, you know, and suddenly you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, maybe Hendricks got their act together. Wouldn't that be so typical? Just in time for the Chase. Here we go. Lo and behold, it comes out and Martin Truex gets the win 32 laps. He led 32 laps. So, I'll tell you somebody else I thought perhaps maybe was going to do really well there was and did very well in the finishing as well. How about Ryan Blaney? Ryan Blaney getting a fourth place and led 8 laps himself. I mean, Ryan Blaney had a shot at it in the final lap. Thoughts, guys, on what occurred before we get into the penalty, the penalties and lack of penalties. Just on its face value, what did you come away with from Chase Race 1?
Well, it's your typical first Chase race, you know. Everybody's trying to lock themselves in to the next round. You can see the they're a little on edge, I guess, is the way to put it. I mean, they don't want to have a bad race, you know what I mean? It's not the kind of thing that, you want to start, you know, having a bad race in the first one, then it kind of puts you – you know, under the gun to win. On the same time, Truex now got that out of his way. So he's in good shape now for the next round. He can just work on the car, et cetera, work on what they're going to do. I guess it's a typical race. I mean, you saw a little bit of contact here and there, Harvick and the winner. But, you know, they go on. They'll keep going. It'll be, you know, he might get paid back down the road. You never know. We saw it last year with Logano and Kenseth.
Mm-hmm.
and they waited too. Kenseth waited till the next round to make sure he took Logano out of the chase. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be that bad in this particular case. I don't think there's that much. I don't think there's any real bad blood between these two drivers. But I think we'll see.
They claimed they're everything's copacetic, so
yeah,
I don't know, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, the other one was a series of, you know,
right,
back and forth. This is new, and I don't think there is any intent in this one. It just kind of happens, you know. Sometimes you go for the same piece of track, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah, one of the things you just mentioned and just said there, two things I want to bring up. Number one, you said, well, it was kind of a typical race. Well, yeah, a typical Chase Race 1. Yeah, it was, except when you start to factor in, you had two rookies in the top five, which that's really not typical, which I thought was really fantastic, actually.
Well, Yeah, but
number
been
two.
They've been up front all season, though. Both of them have been running good. I mean, they've both been in the, you know, running in top five positions throughout the year of races. Not maybe not finishing all the time for Blaney, but you know, you can't. They were two of the. They were, you know, they definitely belong in the chase. They by their performance all year is my point. I mean, they.
Well, I'm not saying they don't belong
there.
I'm not saying they don't belong there. You wonder how many people would have had them in a top five finish. That's all for in chase race one. That's all. I'm not saying they don't belong there. Certainly they do. I mean, we know that. The other issue though that I wanted to just quickly bring up that you kind of referenced there a little bit. You know, saying, well, nobody really wanted to have, you know, you don't want to have a bad race on your first one because it kind of puts you behind. And when you start now looking at the standings and you got Kevin Harvick with a 20th place finish, you know, he's one of the ones that's on the cut line at this point now going into chase race number two. He's sitting at 14th spot, and that's a little bit of a deficit there. Go ahead, Psychic.
Oh, well, I was going to say, it's not, you know, it's the first chase race, but it's not really different than any other race when you look at it from the standpoint of just the racing. You know what I mean? As Brandon said, we've seen these kids, you know, up front pretty much all season long. So, you know, yeah, it's Chicagoland. It's it's the only time this, you know, year when we go there. But, you know, I wouldn't expect them any different. You know, the only thing that I thought was weird was with qualifying being rained out, you know, Chris Buescher, who normally is at the tail end of the field when we're starting races, you know, and he's got to work his way up, and he, you know, finishes, you know, about mid-pack, you know, except for Pocono, you know, obviously he got his win. But, you know, now he was starting – like in the top 10 or top 15, you know, or wherever, I forget where exactly he was seated, you know, and it was like, okay, well, you started up all the way up here, kid, you know, here's your opportunity. You got to stay up there. You know, it's not like you qualified poorly and then, you know, you're trying to work your way from the back of the pack. You're starting towards the front of the pack. You know, let's see how you can do. See if you can stay up there, kid, you know, make some ruckus, you know?
Right.
So,
well, and that didn't exactly happen, did it? Now, Chris Buescher ends up in a 28th spot, and in fact, two laps down, if I'm not mistaken. And I think right now, 16th of the 16 chase racers, I believe, in the standings. Do I have that right? Yes, I do. The mentality, though, guys. Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, Psychic. You know, from the standpoint of racing, it doesn't really change. But in some respects, the mentality doesn't. I mean, it doesn't change. The mentality of these guys doesn't change, particularly when you're looking at you. See, to me, if I'm getting behind the wheel, I'm thinking about it as not a 10 race playoff. I'm thinking about it as being three. 3-3-3-3. That's how I'm going to deal with it. 3-3-3-1. So I'm going to look at it in segments. I'm going to look at it, you know, from one race to the next. And in doing so, your mentality about what you're doing is going to change a little bit, isn't it? I mean, from the standpoint of Martin Truex today, he doesn't have to do a damn thing. He can, for the next 2 weeks, he can lay back, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, getting a win in any one of these, you know, little bracket, you know, these little three race brackets is a huge boost. You know what I mean? Because, you know, basically it's an automatic advancement to the next round.
Exactly.
You know, so you know, all the weight is off of you. You know, if there's anything that, you know, as a chase driver. You know, if you know, Sidekick's a chase driver like I am, and you know, I'm going into the chase while I'm trying to win races, unless it's that third and final race and I'm in the bottom four racing, getting cut, I'm probably playing it just a tad bit safer than I probably would have outside of the chase.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want that bad race where I finish 20th or 28th or I DNF, or, you know what I mean? You know, I want to try and keep my nose clean and get a win. So I think, you know, you're a little bit more defensive, kind of like we saw at Richmond, where some drivers were driving a more defensive race because they just didn't want to have a bad race and get knocked out of the chase, or get knocked out of the chase, you know, going into the chase. But obviously when it comes down to that cut race, if you're in that bottom four, you're swinging for fences.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause you have to, you're getting, it's elimination. You know, you got to go, you know, balls out, you know what I mean? And you're going to have to take those risks. But, you know, whereas everybody else out, you know, everybody but the 16 chasers, you know, they're just, you know, it, you know, it's just another day at work for them. You know, obviously they want to try and get a win, try to get that, you know, that money, the purse from winning a race, but, you know, maybe play spoiler a little bit by taking away an opportunity for one of the chasers to lock in for, you know, the next round, you know, but really, you know, what are you racing for at this point?
And therein lies, I guess, the point I was making, Psychic, when you said before, well, you know, it's basically like any other race. Really, it's not, though, is it? The mentality does change. The strategy has to change in the way that you're operating. Does the strategy today change for any of the drivers that are in the chase? Does it change today? Does Harvick run differently?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The bottom four have to have a decent finish. Or even, you know, if they have a chance at pulling off a win by strategy, they got to do it. Because when you're already under the gun now, you can't have another, you know, Kevin Harvick can't have like a 10th or worse finish if he thinks he's going to go on at this point. Because now you're relying on, you know, your last race maybe being perfect. You know what I mean? You could get caught at any point by, you know, a mechanical failure, a tire failure, you know, all that. So you got to now be on top of it now.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom four guys especially have to pay close attention to the guys right above them. You know, they maybe not change. They probably still go at it with okay, let's see if we can protect our position kind of attitude, but you don't want to get lulled into, you know, not being competitive either. So there's a balance there. I think the only guy that really, you know, the biggest change is going to probably be Truex, because Truex it's irrelevant where he finishes. You know, he doesn't want to wreck the car, obviously. But other than that, that's probably about the only, you know, the only thing out of his mind, because he's going to, if he has a chance to, you know, run long or, you know, run out of gas or not to try to get a win, he'll do it. He don't have any reason not to at this point. So.
In fact, he could be out there with a strategy at some point or another during the course of this race being a helper, right, for one of his teammates.
Possibly, I guess, if something like that could arise. I highly doubt he's going to pull over and let, you know, Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. But, I mean, if he could end up blocking somebody from taking a lead over say somebody like a Carl Edwards or somebody like that. I mean, you could very well see that sort of thing going on because, as we've already pointed out, I mean, he doesn't need the win. So why not help somebody that's helped him out?
Right. No, I hear you.
Well, and I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say he wouldn't pull over for somebody.
Oh, I don't think any driver's pulling over and giving a win to any teammate or satellite, any of that. Not at this point. Well, okay. Here's the deal.
It may well be blatant. but it won't be blatant. But and maybe not, you know, maybe not this race, but let's say the, you know, Dover at the cut race. If you're talking about, you know, one of the JGR cars getting eliminated or getting a win and going on, and it's down between a JGR car and Truex leading a race, I'm sorry, I think there'd be some negotiations going on.
There might be in that particular case, you know, but you'd have to have the right scenario. You'd have to have a Gibbs guy going to get cut. The only chance he has is to win. Maybe in that scenario, I could see something like that. But you know, most times you're not seeing a driver pull over to give a win to another driver. I just don't see it.
Well, it'll be interesting, that's for sure. I think, as we've pointed out, I think the situation that'll be most interesting to watch today, I think, is Kevin Harvick. That's the one to me that is the most interesting. And I'm just checking the he's coming out of the 19th spot qualifying.
Yeah, but
not
he
exactly.
Runs well on flat tracks. He owns Phoenix, which is a very similar, you know, flat track like this one. And he's done well at Loudon over the years, so he will not finish that bad. I mean, looking at the practice times and stuff, you know, it's definitely leading it, you know, towards other drivers. He doesn't, you know, he's in the top 10 in final practice. But, I mean, guys like, you know, what's his name, Kyle Larson, he's been hot and on a tear and led final practice. You know, maybe somebody like that could pull off a win. But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Harvick comes out and just, you know, works his way through the field methodically till he gets up there and, you know, gets the win. I could see that happen.
Now, speaking of Kevin Harvick in last week's race, I'm drawing a blank, but did he shoot himself in the foot or was it his pit crew again? Because I thought, didn't he get a speeding penalty or something?
Well, he had contact at the end with Truex. You know, that kind of hosed him a little. I don't remember him having a penalty.
Okay.
I'm just checking real quick the official NASCAR report to see whether they list all the penalties.
I don't know if they do or don't, to be honest.
Excuse me, in race, that is in race penalties, because we're going to talk penalties here in a moment. And perhaps.
He's been having pit crew issues lately, you know, and they've made changes and he still had pit crew issues. But I think he also, one of these past races, I thought he kind of shot himself in the foot too.
Yeah, they swapped out, crew chiefs with Danica's team?
No, not crew chiefs. What was it? Rear tire changers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one guy that had the issue with the gun like 3 weeks ago.
Right. Right.
They kicked him down to Danica's team and brought somebody else up to replace him.
Exactly.
Which leads me to believe that it wasn't really the gun's fault. Guy said, "Oh, the gun didn't work. The gun didn't work." You know, and they show him running. You know. Show a crew guy running through the, you know, through the pit trying to get a, you know, a tire gun. And then, you know, subsequently, you know, we find out next week that that guy was, you know, he was relegated down to Danica Patrick's team.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the gun there, buddy. Nice try, though.
All right, well, let's talk about these let's talk about these penalties here. This is what made the news post-race for at least a good portion of the week, guys. Apparently, Martin Truex and Jimmy Johnson's car failed post-race inspection. Now, I'm trying to understand exactly what the reasoning was on this, and perhaps maybe one of you guys can explain it for me, exactly what the rationale was that, according to new rules that NASCAR had just put into effect for the chase, they would have been severely penalized. And yet, they made the decision following this that they made a mistake themselves and they washed that out and didn't penalize the two drivers and the two teams at all. This created a stir, and I'm going to be honest with you. Even one for myself, I'm going to be honest with you, because it just, this is, to me, it just appeared to be one more example of NASCAR saying, we're not getting the result. This is not going to give us the result that we want. So therefore, we have to make changes to this. As opposed to, I mean, why they insist on constantly making rule changes on the fly, on the spot, I do not understand the mentality. Why don't you just make these changes at the end of a season prior to the beginning of the next one and go through the whole season with the rule book being the rule book and you just leave it alone? You do not open yourselves up to criticism and to scrutiny and to rumor that, in fact, there's manipulation going on. Any thoughts, either one of you? I don't know. Maybe somebody could try to fill me in a little bit on what I might be missing with this whole situation.
Well, part of the issue with what happened was, you know, obviously, you know, both Kenseth and, or I'm sorry, not Kenseth, Truex and Jimmy Johnson failed the laser inspection after the race.
Right.
So there would be penalty assessments given at that time. NASCAR realized that when they made these rule changes, that, you know, in fact, they had messed up with their rule change because they're not, you know, they're basically, it would damage Jimmy Johnson more than it would damage Martin Truex Jr.
Correct.
Because Martin Truex Jr. got the win. So you can take points away from Truex. He automatically got a win, or he got a win, so he automatically advances. Okay, so the points don't do diddly, you know, diddly poo to him. Jimmy Johnson, though, you take 10 points away from Jimmy Johnson, and it sends him outside. You know, it puts him in the cup bracket. You know what I mean, for the
exactly.
same penalty. So
exactly.
NASCAR realized that, oops, this rule is a little bit, you know, unfair because, you know, even though, you know, we're both teams penalized by virtue of Truex getting a win, he automatically gets in. And their assumption then would be, well, this sets a precedent. If you're the race winner and you fail a post-race inspection, nothing happens to you. You lose points, but you're automatically advanced, so who cares? So now you're going to have people out there trying to cheat to get the win, figuring, well, I automatically advance, therefore I can get caught cheating, and there's no penalty. I still get to advance to the next round. So, you know, NASCAR said, well, okay, hold on. we messed this one up.
Of course, however, here's the problem. It immediately sends the signal to all of the conspiracy theorists, the Jimmy Johnson haters, the people, you know, that are out there in that of that ilk, and sends them into a frenzy and into a tizzy saying, see, gotcha. NASCAR is trying to manipulate this to what they want it to be. Their guy, Jimmy Johnson, would have been too badly hurt, and so therefore, they had to change the rules. It goes back, I guess, to my original contention, and that is, leave the damn rule book alone. make your changes in the off season, live with the rules that you make for the entire season. And if you find something's not working, wait until the off season again. Had they, you know, they go and they jump the gun, put this rule in place 1 week ago, only to go and basically nullify it with in less than a week because they realized the error of their ways. If, in fact, they had tried it, given it some thought instead of hastily putting this together, had they given it some thought in the off season, they might have recognized this wouldn't have worked anyhow, in which case then you never put it into effect. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't it make more sense, as many other leagues do, to have basically a rules committee that anticipates some of these problems, anticipates what these issues might be over a long-term situation? It just doesn't make any damn sense to me. I mean, they open themselves up to scrutiny and to question when they do this. And it happens. It happens all the time. Go ahead.
You're off a little bit here.
Okay.
This isn't a new rule. This has been in place all year, and we've been hearing of guys failing the stupid laser tolerance at the end of races all year. What the part that they changed, or that they're going to do, is they're going to move the emphasis of this laser testing to pre-qualifying and pre-race. And they're going to, as this week was very evident, as not even half the cars were through inspection when qualifying started, because they all kept failing, because NASCAR's decided, you know what, it's more important to get this right pre-race than post-race. And then, because I think the problem is, in any given race, all you have to do is brush your car against the wall or against another car, and you're going to fail that laser test. You know, I think the original point of the laser test was to stop the Brad Keselowski crews from, you know, shoulder blocking the car and changing the aerodynamics of the car. Okay, that may be in the idea behind it at first, but practically it didn't work, because of, you're not going to be able to have a laser tolerance of a car that just ran 400 or 500 miles on a track that probably bounced off something, be it another car, another wall, you know, might have spun through the grass and bounced the whole front end out of whack. There's just too many factors that can change that. So they saw that, you know what, okay, our intent was to stop crew members from changing the car during the race, but we got this, where we're putting penalties on cars because and hurting their chances because, you know, that's the way the rule is. So they changed it. Is it good or bad changing the rules midseason? I don't know. But you got to have, in NASCAR, because of safety factors, you have to have rule changes throughout the year. If they see something that's just not right or not safe, they have to change it. I don't know that this is necessarily a safety thing. I don't see this as a conspiracy to save Jimmy Johnson. I really don't. It's been a stupid rule to begin with, if you ask me, to expect a car to go through a laser template after running a race and not be off by a 16th or an 1/8 of an inch, which is what we're talking about here, is just ludicrous. I mean, the car can't do that. I mean, we see these cars. I mean, they just stall, and sometimes the side's caved in. So, you know, I think they fixed a bad rule, and they did it, you know, maybe their timing isn't right. Maybe they should have fixed it 3 weeks ago or something leading up to the chase, but you don't want to see somebody lose or chase chance on a stupid, you know, rule that shouldn't be there in the first place, that they got to fix. That, you know, I think the bottom line is they need to pay more attention to what these guys are doing to the car. If they're worried about crew modifications in race, they need to have a guy back in it, you know, one person per pit, you know, one official per pit like they used to, and watching what's going on in these on these pit stops. Then you won't have that. Then they wouldn't have to worry about, you know, a tolerance at the end of the race. I mean, even the ride height one always bugged me, because a suspension, you know, throughout the course of a race, say a shock, you know, has a – these shocks are oil-filled. Say it develops a leak towards the end of the race, and it's just not rebounding all the way at the end. That car is not going to be high enough in the back. That's a mechanical failure. You know, that's not something you can that occurred during the course of the race. So a lot of times when they have these quote unquote penalties, you know, points for, oh, the car was, you know, a 16th of an inch too low or out of the laser thing, I always was just like, these are such stupid rules. You can't keep that car perfect, you know, through the course of 400 or 500 miles. And I think that's why they changed it. I think they realized, okay, let's make sure we got it right going into the race. We're going to break their stones on every little minute inch, as we saw this week in qualifying. Some of those cars had to go through 3 or 4 times till they finally got through inspection. They had to fix stuff. I think they even said, because I watched qualifying, not a single car made it through on their first time. Not one out of the 40-some cars made it through the first time of this inspection. So everybody had to do something to fix the car at some point.
And that was using the laser type inspection?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what? Yeah.
Laser and templates. They have a combination thing they do now. They're doing both a physical and, you know, they have certain things that people, gauges that officials put on the car, plus the laser template. So I think what they did is they fixed a broken rule. They fixed a rule that wasn't right. You know what? I'll give them a pass on that. I don't like the timing. I agree with you. It does lead for the question. It's like, okay, so we're doing
exactly.
This just the same Jimmy Johnson. Hey, you're right. I'm not going to say the timing's the greatest. I'd rather see them fix it though than not. If they realize something's not right. I mean, I think the whole, like I said, the intent was to stop manipulation of the car during a race. Well, all right. I don't think it's doing what you want it to do. You know, because it was, you know, we saw it a couple times this year. We see it on every pit stop when they grab the rear fender in the car trying to flare it out, you know. They claim they do it because, oh, well, you know, we bumped the wall. We got to pull it out. Yeah, right. All right. Whatever. But I think doing it this way, let's be sticklers pre-race. You know, let's get the car, you know, rolling up to the line, make it legal, make sure it's legal, you know, without a doubt. And then, you know, what occurs during the race? Yeah, you got to, the officials need to keep an eye out for, you know, the Keselowski shoulder block crew member, that kind of thing. But, you know, for the most part, I think this is probably a good rule. But I agree, the timing's terrible.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I agree with you that I do not think that what NASCAR did this week was in any way to try to save Jimmy Johnson. I do not think that. However, I think everybody can understand right here on this panel how it leaves NASCAR open to those people that want to spread that rumor, those people that are out there that are the Jimmy Johnson haters out there that think that Jimmy Johnson is NASCAR's golden boy. You could see where it leaves them open to those people out there of that particular mentality to spread that on their little blog sites that they have. See this? This is what NASCAR is doing. They're trying to save this guy. So I'm not saying it. I don't believe it. I appreciate you clearing it up for me. I mean, I was having a little trouble actually even following the whole issue.
Wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
But let's play in the conspiracy. NASCAR is saving Jimmy Johnson. That's why they made the rule change, because they realized it was unfair to Jimmy Johnson. So
yeah,
I'm not saying it's
they're not doing
I'm not saying it's an I'm not going to put my tinfoil hat on and say NASCAR is intentionally trying to give advantage to Jimmy Johnson, but they did save Jimmy Johnson.
So some of those blog sites out there, they're looking for any little thing they can to pick a fight with NASCAR, you know, and Jimmy Johnson is a lightning rod because a lot of fans have feelings about him. So, you know, it is what it is. I still find it incredibly hard to believe. I think it would have been anybody if this, you know what I mean? It just so happens that it was Jimmy Johnson.
Correct.
And Truex, you know, it could have been two other cars. It could have been Jimmy Johnson and say Kyle Larson. You know, both had the same problem, and they didn't want to penalize him. Because, see, then you take out that, oh, well, it didn't matter for Truex because he won the race. See, that I think that's the part that adds fuel to the Internet talk, I guess. You know,
I think, though, as Sidekick pointed out, that actually was the key factor in all of this, that NASCAR may not have realized their mistake had it not been for the fact that Truex was one of the ones that should have been penalized, right?
Well, I think maybe that might have been the catalyst for doing it right now. I don't think that this was something they just decided to change this week. They've probably been looking at it for a while, because I read an article where they were questioning the director of competition at RCR about it, because Ryan Newman had a penalty just a couple weeks before Richmond that docked him 15 points, which put him 22 points out of the chase going into it. So, you know, and the RCR director of competition said it was a good change. It was a rule that needed to be changed. It should have been changed sooner, but, you know, it is what it is. I think it was they got there to the right answer. It just took them, you know, too long. And, of course, you know, because it just happens to be Jimmy Johnson this week, it's going to create havoc.
We've got the feral dogs running around the garage.
The dogs are Jimmy Johnson fans.
It's the lucky dogs.
Yeah, right. They're.
Somebody rang my doorbell, so now they're going. You know,
Sidekick puts food out for the dogs that wander the neighborhood around here.
Yeah.
Well, interesting on, you know, I guess it created a controversy basically where, Brandon, I think what you're saying is there really probably wasn't any need for a controversy. And yet one more time, it just seems to me it's something that NASCAR themselves can control. They can control the unnecessary talk amongst their fan base by simply having a real legitimate rules committee that, in my opinion, like I said, makes rules off season, write the book, make the book. And I hear what you're saying, Brandon, that, hey, for safety issues, they may have to make rules a lot quicker. They might have to make those on the fly. Okay. In that particular case, then you have an exception. You make a determination. What's a safety issue? What's not a safety issue? If it's a safety issue, then we convene the rules committee, you know, during the season, and we make a modification there.
The problem with
in this particular case,
it's too long. The season's too long. You can't address stuff quick enough that way, unfortunately. In motorsports, it's different than football or baseball. Football or baseball, you have a long established set of rules. In motorsports, there's too many fluid things that happen. I mean, just track conditions from track to track could warrant a rule change. You know what I'm saying? There's too many things that are too fluid throughout the course of a 36-week or 36-race season that you sometimes you have to tweak stuff. It's just the way it is. You know, it's not as cut and dry as football or baseball or you know, any other sport for that matter. You know, that you have a long set, you know, rules. See, in cars, they evolve. The mechanics evolve. The engineering evolves. The tracks evolve. The surfaces evolve. The stuff you put on the track, like at Bristol, you know, that stuff evolves. So you got to have a little more fluidity in the rules within a motorsport, I think. You got to deal differently. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's not just it's not like football. Like, we're going to be watching football all day. You got 11 on each side, and you know you can't have that 12th man out there. You know what I mean? But in NASCAR, sometimes, you know, if we're at a track, like, say, a road course with rain, we may give you an extra crew member to make sure you get that windshield wipe for the driver. You know what I mean? They have to be able to make, you know, subtle tweaks as they go. It's just, it's a different, you know, I guess there's a risk level, you know, you got to take into account for, you know, that's why they have different rules for different tracks. Daytona, Talladega have a completely different set of rules than what we're going to see in New Hampshire today, you know, and that's for safety and, you know, everything else. I think it's, you know, you got to say, okay, we're going to set the rules for the entire season, you know, before Daytona, and we're not changing them under any circumstances. You can't do that. You just can't do that in NASCAR or any motorsport. because you have to be able to let, say the racing, let's just say, for example, they changed the downforce rule here, that affects the racing here at Loudoun to the point where, the only way they can pass is if the driver's, taking such a risk that it's going to cause, a 3-car accident because he's sliding up on the guy in front of him or something. They gotta do something to fix that. You can't put people at risk unnecessarily. So I get your idea. It'd be nice to have a quote unquote solid set of rules for the whole season, but you can't do that in motorsports. You've got to be able to tweak stuff. And yeah, this penalty thing. Yeah, I think they realized they made a mistake and they just wanted to fix it before they, did cause a change in the outcome of the championship that would have, brought up the, see, here's the other part of the question. If let's just say they went out throughout the year. Okay. They penalized Jimmy Johnson. He gets knocked out and so be it. And then at the end of the year, they say, you know what? This penalty was dumb. We shouldn't have done it. You're going to have the same conspiracy theory say, oh, well, NASCAR didn't want Jimmy Johnson to win. That's why they didn't change this, now, when they should have. They waited too long. They should have changed it, back before the chase started. If they knew it was a dumb rule and it shouldn't have been there, they should have changed it right away. So, they can't win either way. They're going to have somebody screaming at them.
Well, I agree.
That's just my take.
I think it depends on which community.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tolerate doing the screaming more than the other, I guess. No, I hear what you're saying.
I get what you're saying too. I mean, it'd be nice to have a constant set of rules throughout the year, but it's just not feasible in motorsports. In football or other sports where they do that, it is, feasible, and it's not necessarily, I'm trying to think, though. I got to think there's been – I wouldn't say a rule change, but we've seen the NFL instruct the referees on calling penalties, changing the emphasis of penalties.
Emphasis,
That's essentially making an adjustment to the rule. If you don't like the way – if you don't like the way certain hits are happening on the quarterback after the play, or if we don't like the hand contact downfield on pass interception or interference plays,
or the PSI,
we've seen where was that rule ever enforced before to placate? Seriously. I'm just saying, but
that's our favorite go-to rule there.
We've seen other sports do this. It's just NASCAR does it more, so it feeds the internet fuel. They do it more, and they have to. But I guarantee you, if you looked at IndyCar or Formula One or any of the motorcycle series, they all do it too. They all make just as many changes as they go. They have to, for safety's sake.
One of the great things about NASCAR is they're open to change, and they change as they need to change. One of the bad things about NASCAR is they change when they change, and they change too often.
I think I know where you're going. The good thing about NASCAR is that they change, and they change when they recognize they need to change. The bad thing about NASCAR is that they change and they recognize the things that they need to change, and they do it. I mean, it's a good and a bad. You're absolutely right. I mean, in some respects, it's very proactive. In other respects, it can be very short-sighted because you're not taking into account, as in this particular case, what perhaps a longer-term effect might be. That's where it's short-sighted. And then you come away looking like a horse's ass, essentially.
They're going to look that way either way, though, Mike, because if they don't make the change and it keeps Jimmy Johnson out, all the Jimmy Johnson supporters are going to call conspiracy. That they, you just didn't change this now because you wanted to keep Jimmy out. They can't win either way. Just which group's going to scream louder is the one that didn't benefit from it, let's just say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think they backed themselves into a – the easiest thing they should have done is fix this, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. You know, going into it is when they should have fixed it. But they didn't. And we've been seeing these stupid penalties all year. I'm kind of glad we won't be now because they were ridiculous.
Go ahead, Psychic.
I was going to say, or you threaten to take the automatic win away or the automatic buy. You know, don't take the win away from Martin Truex Jr. Leave him with the win and the points, but take away the automatic pass. So you can keep your, you know, you keep your points ranking on, but you lose your automatic pass through the next round.
Oh man, can you imagine the screaming that would be coming from the traditionalists then? Holy smokes.
You keep changing your chase on the fly.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what I thought of as soon as I heard it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, listen, the traditionalists out there have never let the chase alone. They've been screaming about the chase ever since it was put into effect, and now it's been modified, what, 2-3 times since they put it into effect?
Yeah, but here's the problem with the traditionalists.
Oh, there's more than one.
No.
There's more than one.
Oh, no, I know that. I'm just saying that the problem with the traditionalists is they should know this is the way NASCAR is. They've always made rules.
They've always been like this. Exactly.
It's, you know, it's kind of like the political debates almost. You know, you can't sit there and nitpick one little thing and say, oh, well, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't agree with all of Hillary Clinton, or, you know, I don't agree with all of Gary Johnson's ideals, so I'm going to stick with my party. I'm going to stick with Trump or Hillary Clinton. Yeah, but you don't agree with everything they stand for either. So
exactly.
Why are you, you know, it's a BS argument. And it's the same thing. You know, the traditionalists will come in and they'll be, oh, well, we don't like this. And we, you know, this is not traditional. And that. Wait a minute. They've been doing this for years. You can't sit here and spot check NASCAR and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I don't like that because it affects the chase. And you just don't like the chase. That's come on. You know, just like the new people that argue about the traditionalist rules. Yeah.
You frustrated yourself.
Does frustrate. You know, come on. You know, that's the one thing that, again, it's another one of these things with NASCAR. NASCAR fans are awesome because they're so passionate. The problem is, you know, the downside
NASCAR
is
fans are
NASCAR
passionate.
Fans are so passionate.
Exactly.
They're so passionate. They're blind. That, you know, why do you refuse to shop at Home Depot? Oh, because I hate that Tony Stewart, or I hate, you know, I hate Matt Kenseth or whoever. You know, why don't you shop at Lowe's? Well, I don't like Jimmy Johnson. What does that have to do with anything? You know, why do you always shop at Lowe's? I'm a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Boom, confetti.
NASCAR. You can make the argument that NASCAR changes so much that they may be part of their own problem with declining ratings and stuff.
That's a good point.
Attendance. You can't please everybody, and if you try, you're going to lose everybody. And I think they may be in that a little bit.
You know what's funny about this argument? Because we've talked about this, I don't know how long, you know, this season. Yeah, we probably even talked about it a little bit last season.
Multiple seasons.
The decline,
multiple seasons.
You know, the decline of viewership in NASCAR. Here's something interesting that it's always been about NASCAR. Why is NASCAR down? Why is NASCAR down? Now that we're into our third week in the NFL season, what are we talking about in the NFL? Ratings are down. People aren't tuning in. People aren't watching. So is it just that NASCAR potentially was on the leading edge of this trend and we're now seeing the other sports catch up to NASCAR? Or
it's because they suspended Brady. It's a boycott. No. It's free Brady. Just kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
I've heard so many different theories. Sidekick's got the sidekick theory. You know, it's because of the boycott he started. I've heard people tongue in cheek. Yeah, I know.
But, yeah.
I've heard people say, well, it's been the Colin Kaepernick protest. That's why that's been down. We talked about it. When we talked about it a little bit on Thursday night, Sidekick on our Red House Sports Show.
That's why I was bringing it up now, because, you know, typically on this show, that's what we talk about. Oh, well, NASCAR's down. Look at the popularity of all the other sports. Why is NASCAR down? Well, now we're talking about the NFL's down. MLB is down. So, you know, is it a trend that we're seeing in sports in general? You know, here's an example.
Are we oversaturated?
Well, right, because every major network has three or four sports channels, 24/7 sports. You know what I mean? And, you know, I know that you are a sports, you know, just you will suck in everything. You're like a black hole. You will just suck in every sport, you know, and you will do your darndest to try and watch every single minute of coverage. I almost want to say that you're in a minority anymore.
Oh, I'm sure I am.
You know what I mean? Everybody else is out doing other things. And the other, you know, to tie into that is yesterday, Jen and I were having a conversation regarding, you know, looking at alternative streaming methods to watch TV. And during that conversation, you know, none of it revolved around, well, I need these sports channels. I have to watch this. I have to watch that. You know, the only thing that I, you know, kind of was a little hesitant on was I'm like, well, I would like to be able to watch the race because there's no real way for me to stream a race. All the other stuff I can stream. You know, I've got avenues where I can watch, you know, I can watch UFC stuff online. I can, you know, but NASCAR, I can't. And I'm wondering if that's playing into this a little bit as well.
You can stream NASCAR. Fox Sports Go does the Fox races. And NBC Sports the NASCAR races.
But Fox Sports Go, don't you have to have TV service?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have
you have to log in.
I know
in
what you're talking
provider.
About. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you do need some kind of provider. You know what, though? I bet you down the road they're going to turn to a service similar to CBS, where CBS doesn't have that. You got to pay to stream CBS. In other words, CBS has a streaming avenue of their own for everything, sports. Heck, I thought I even read somewhere they were going to have a dedicated Star Trek series that was only going to be available on the stream so that, you know, to give people reason to buy it. I don't know if that ever happened or not. I thought it was going to premiere on, like, the first episode was going to be on TV, but all the rest were going to be streaming only. So, you know, that seems to be a model, you know, and maybe NASCAR will fall into that at some point, or the other networks will fall into that at some point to give you an avenue to stream everything.
I mean, you know, NASCAR does have, you know, their, I forget what the race pass or whatever it's called, and, you know, you can, you know, watch the live telemetry of the cars, and you can watch an animated, you know, view of your favorite driver, you know, going around the track. You can listen to the, you know, the MRN broadcasts, but they don't actually have it where, or at least that I've seen, where you can actually stream, you know, pay to stream the races like you can with, you know, the NFL, you know, like, you know, the NFL, you can pay for streaming through PlayStation and, you know, other outlets. MLB, you can do. You know, NHL, you can do. You know, but I'm wondering if that's part of, you know, the viewership issues that, you know, some of these sports are, you know, start to see is as people, you know, cut the proverbial cable because, you know,
my DirecTV bills, ranges from $150 to $200 a month. It's like, this is kind of ridiculous.
Mine's more than that this time of year with the football package.
Well, exactly. And that's one of the things, that's why, in some respects, Jen's very happy that the Rams moved to LA. Because I'm available on Sundays. My Sunday doesn't consist of sitting in front of a TV watching football the whole day. And I'm not paying the $400 or whatever it is for the Sunday ticket.
Yep.
There
is a streaming only option of that too, by the way. Talking about streaming, you can get a package to stream that. And Twitter, I believe, is streaming all the Thursday games, because I actually used that a little bit on this past Thursday, being away on vacation.
I think NBC, is it Sunday night that NBC does?
Yeah.
Sunday night football games, they stream that free.
On the NBC Sports Channel, yeah.
Yeah, you can go through their app and you can watch. And they add extra stuff.
That might have that same login proviso, though, because I did have to log in to my provider to stream the NASCAR race the other week on through that app. So they may have that for that may count on the Sunday football, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But you're right. The cutting the cord thing is becoming more and more popular.
Exactly.
And that's
one of the things I brought up on Thursday night when we were talking about, specifically the way we got into the conversation Thursday night was via the fact that the NFL for the first 2 weeks of this season has been realizing lower numbers on all the big national games being played, which is highly, highly unusual. And the only thing that I can think of that actually makes sense is that we're now seeing those alternative medias kicking in. Now, the reason that I would say that NASCAR would not be similarly experiencing that is because we have known over the years that it's not just NASCAR's television viewership that's been dropping off. We know track attendances. We've got track after track after track that are removing seats, removing grandstands.
Right. Yep.
So we know that overall viewership, regardless of whether it's media viewership, television viewership, alternative media viewership, or on-site viewership, we know all of it has dropped off with NASCAR. So I don't know if you can necessarily sit there and say, we're seeing it in other sports. Perhaps maybe NASCAR is now only experiencing the same thing as well. I don't think that's the case. I think NASCAR does have a bigger problem.
In NASCAR's defense, say versus the NFL, the reason you still have everybody showing up to games for the NFL is the PSLs, or at least, off the top of my head, you've got to buy, most NFL teams, you have to buy PSLs to even have the right to buy a season ticket. And then you're buying season tickets that are 8 games. Well, I guess 11, if you include, you have to get the preseason, but you're spending exorbitant amounts of money to maintain a season ticket for a MLB, NFL. So you're not shelling out that kind of money and not going to the game. Or if you are, you're reselling your seat, your ticket, on some sort of ticket service to recoup the money. Mm-hmm. NASCAR, let's take Brandon for example. Brandon has season tickets to Richmond. Well, what is that? That's 2 races.
He's
not paying a PSL. He's not paying a right to buy a season ticket either. So,
I gotta buy them for both races or I don't get the same seats. See, the problem, the advantage of the permanent seats in NASCAR used to be more important because of, you know, they would sell out every seat and tickets were hard to come by. Now that's not an issue.
Correct.
You know, now they're doing anything they can to get, you know, anything out of them at the last minute. You know, they'll put special packages up, like, and you're buying tickets at 25 cents on the dollar at the end, the last week before a race anymore. It's almost detrimental for me to keep the tickets, to be honest with you. Because I get to pay full price no matter what. But, you know, that being said.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm just looking at the clock, trying to figure out where I'm going.
Yeah, as we kind of meander, as we typically do.
Well,
yeah,
what
this
else?
Almost sounded like a topic. This sounded like a topic for the sports show, because I've read.
Yeah, really.
Because we're really talking about, you know, sports viewership and attendance across the board, not just NASCAR. NASCAR is probably your biggest problem right now. It's the fastest declining. You know, it was the clear number two behind football. You know, now it's not so much. So I guess it's apropos on this show as well.
Well, yeah.
I guess.
We did talk about it a little bit on Thursday night, like I said. You know, I keep thinking that with football, we're going to see that, you know, we're going to get a week here where that's all going to change momentarily. It's going to be interesting to see whether that, in fact, that kind of trend actually does continue as we go forward in the NFL. And what the NFL comes up with as far as an explanation for why it's occurring. I believe, as we've already kind of pointed out, I believe what we're seeing is we're seeing alternative medias take over. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a culmination of all the factors that everybody's pointing at.
Yeah.
It's not any one particular. It's the Colin Kaepernick. It's the Rams move to LA. It's the, you know, the way people consume television now. It's, you know, it's the economy. It's, you know, I think it's just a culmination of everything. It's not any, you know, any one single factor is greater than any other one.
Good point. Good point. It might be everything. It might just be everything all put together.
Maybe it's a correction in the price it costs to attend and do sporting events. Because let's face it, the cost is got to be a factor at some level.
Well, go back. If you want to stay with a racing model here, just for a couple minutes, because I know we got other stuff to talk about. But, you know, look at the Indy 500. I remember back in the 80s watching, you know, always watched the Indy 500 with my dad Memorial Day weekend. I think it's Memorial Day weekend. Anyway, but I always watched, you know, we always watched the Indy 500. If, you know, if we weren't even home, if we, you know, we would go camping, we would listen to it on the radio. It was the only Indy race we ever did. But that was like a thing, you know. It was, you know, American Pie, you know. And I remember telling my dad, man, I want to go to an Indy 500 once. You know, and that was back when you were on a waiting list for years. And it was almost cost prohibitive to even go to an Indy 500. Now, you can almost walk up the day of and get a ticket to the Indy 500.
That is amazing when you think about it.
Now, obviously, we're talking, you know, we're 30 years removed. But, you know, it's this, you know, that
yeah, but
same
that's
kind of thing.
Long. That's not that long. That's not that long a period of time.
You know, I don't know where.
You're saying
where
within
that,
your own memory, within your own lifetime's memory, you remember that it was cost prohibitive, and now you could virtually buy a ticket at the door. I mean, that.
Yes.
So 30 years is really not all that long a period for something to dramatically change like that.
I got a better argument for you. Richmond used to seat 140,000 and everything sold out every week, not 10 years ago. Since then, they have ripped 30,000 backstretch seats out of the facility, and they still can't sell out what they have left.
Yep.
Look, that's not even Daytona. Been 10 years.
Daytona Rising. They tore down the whole that whole backstretch. Imploded it. Did away with it. I don't know how many seats it was, but it was the backstretch. You know, that whole backstretch, they tore it down because they can't fill it.
Yeah, you know, I think we're seeing a correction. And you might be right. It may be several factors, you know, but we're seeing a correction in some of this stuff. Like you might, we've already seen it. NASCAR ticket prices, you know, are cheaper leading up to a race. They may not be cheaper up front, but they're cheaper leading up to a race. We may see this in other sports. I don't know. How is it, Fred Osmond, you might know it. How about baseball? Have they had any kind of general reduction in ticket prices in baseball that you're aware of or no?
Not that I'm aware of. I will say this, though. We do know that of all of the new ballparks that are being built, as these ballparks are being built, this new generation, they're all smaller than what we used to see years ago. So your seat capacity is less than what it used to be. Somehow or another, teams like perennially, you know, poorly attended teams like the Miami Marlins, somehow or another, still managed to stay financially solvent. I think, however, that's with support from Major League Baseball. So, you know, but I know that even down there with that new stadium they have in Miami, that's a smaller venue than what they had before as far as seat capacity. But I can't necessarily say I'm aware of price reductions. I mean, we know here in the Philadelphia region, I don't think the Phillies necessarily you've seen any reduction. I don't think you've seen an increase. I mean, we know that with the Eagles, that goes up every single year. Football, just, well, I mean, you know, we're not seeing a reduction in prices there.
The Atlanta Falcons, what did they do in the offseason for season ticket hold? Didn't they reduce prices or do something that was supposed to be?
I thought it was concessions. I thought it was concessions.
Okay.
Didn't they do something with their concessions?
Maybe that's what it was.
Arthur Blank coming out and making a big to-do about the new, because they've got the new stadium, and he was making a bit. And I think I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's really more of a first year, a promotional sort of thing, as opposed to actually being a long term. You know, hey, we feel bad for the fans, sort of thing. Oh shucks, I think this is more of a, hey, we're very grateful to our fans, and so therefore we'll throw you a bone. He's not taking anything off the prices there. He's just saying, I'll make your outing here today a little bit cheaper than what it used to be by virtue of what you're actually going to spend at the stadium. I think that's what it was. I don't know. Do you recall that, Braden?
Not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, look, we got about 15 minutes here. The we're heading to New Hampshire. I think, Brandon, as you kind of alluded to, flat track here. Interesting. We do have a lot of multi-time winners. Excuse me. At this track. Many of them, of course, are currently in the chase. Three-time winners, Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Tony Stewart, all three-time winners. And two-time winners, we got Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Carl Edwards on the pole, Martin Truex coming off second. And then I had mentioned before about, you know, you've got quite a few Chevy's up in the top 10. Ryan Newman, number 3. Jimmy Johnson coming in at 4. Hamlin, then, again, at 5. Kyle Larson, Jamie McMurray, 6-7. Matt Kenseth, 8. Kasey Kahne, and Chase Elliott round out your top 10. Any thoughts on New Hampshire? And, you know, like I said, as Brandon pointed out, flat track sort of situation here. What can we expect here from Chase race number two, except for the fact that we know that Harvick's going to be trying to get up probably into the – get himself at least a top – I think you said before a top 10, at least a top 10 finish.
Yeah, minimum. I actually see Harvick as competing for the win in this when it's all said and done. As far as the track goes, New Hampshire, it's not one of my favorites, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I agree.
I like Phoenix better of the two flat tracks of this size. I think Phoenix has that little extra dog leg, makes it a little more interesting. To me, gets monotonous because, you know,
yep.
it does seem hard for them to pass. It's a lot of follow the leader. But, you know, everybody has their different style they like of racing, and this just isn't my favorite. I don't like flat tracks, that are hard to pass on like this one. Honestly, this is one I'd like to see go down to one a year. I don't think this track deserves two. I don't think it ever has deserved two. I think it could have been, you know, there's other tracks that deserve a second race better, much more so than this, because I've never sat down and say, oh, wow, that was a good race after watching a Loudon race, to be honest with you. But anyway.
I agree with you. 100%.
I don't mean to go bashing on the track, but I just don't like – I don't think this track provides good racing. Personally.
It's a lot of follow the leader on this one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what we're going to see today. I think you'll see some cars, you know, you're going to see, you know, a couple stand out, you know, be it a couple of the Gibbs Toyotas, Truex, you know, maybe a Harvick, maybe a Kyle Larson keeps up the hot streak he's on. Maybe we see, you know, the two rookies, Elliott and Blaney up there. So, you know, we might see some of that today. You know, it might be, you know, I'm not going to say it's not worth watching. I'm just saying it's not one of my favorites. That's all.
Yeah. Sidekick, any thoughts on this track? I mean, do you feel similarly? It's not exactly a very compelling track to be running at.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be a yawner.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it's in the chase. That's what's, yeah.
Well, as Brandon says, that's why Brandon's saying, hey, just turn it back to making it one race a year. You know?
I'd rather see Darlington in the chase than this track, to be honest.
Well,
we had a great race at Darlington.
Wait, hold on. This would be a good spot to put a road course.
Yeah, exactly.
Bingo. I was just going to say Watkins Glen.
Road America. Let's add Road America to the schedule.
You're geographically similar. You know, Watkins Glen to Loudon isn't that far. You know,
exactly.
It's not like you're talking, you know, you're talking clear across the country like Sonoma.
Right.
You know, here's a perfect case for let's take this race out and let's put Watkins Glen in there.
Put Watkins Glen in there, and then where you have Watkins Glen, you could put Road America
There you go.
Look at that.
We just
fixed all NASCAR scheduling problems.
Exactly. There you go.
Boom.
confetti.
Boom.
Confetti. Yeah. Boom. Confetti. could we see a non-chaser win today? Does anybody expect to see a non-chaser win today?
I'll give you one name to watch.
Go ahead.
Kasey Kahne has been on a little bit of a hot streak the last couple weeks. And yet again, qualified well and ran well in practice. I'm not saying he's going to win.
His team owner still doesn't know his name.
This is Kasey Kahne, the guy that Brandon has almost modestly trashed for the best.
I got to give him some props. He's running better.
He's coming out of the ninth spot there. So ahead of Chase Elliott. So we'll see what. We'll see
how that goes.
Not only that, he was third fastest in final practice. So he's starting up at the front, and he was fast in final practice. Faster than Edwards and Jimmy Johnson, for that matter. Just food for thought. I'm not saying that means, you know, he's going to do well or could well. I'm just, if you want me to pull a name out of a hat of a non-chaser who could win, I mean, I'll throw Kane. You know, Larson's been on a hot streak. He didn't. No, Larson's in the chase, isn't he? Right? No.
Yeah.
Not Larson. Yes. Larson.
Yeah, he won. Yeah, he won.
Larson and Jamie McMurray are at both in.
Right.
Here's I'm gonna throw one at you.
Non-chaser.
I'm gonna throw one at you that will really mess with everything that we say at this show.
Hello, Newman.
I've been third.
Exactly. I was just about to bring Newman up because Newman, what? Didn't I say Newman's won here three times? Yeah, he's a three-time winner here. So, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a stinker? Does him absolutely
sure
no good.
It you, sure would be.
Yeah. Where you should have won earlier in the season there, you jack wagon.
The love for Ryan Newman in this show is
it's just incredible.
Amazing.
I know. You know, I hope.
Hello, Newman.
The people that, you know, I'm wondering about our folks that listen. I mean, whether we have anybody that really, really, really sits there and roots for Ryan Newman of all people.
Any Newman lovers out there, you can call it 347-826-9964 any Sunday, you know, during any race.
I would love to hear from you.
And you know what? And, you know, we'd love to hear why you're high on the Ryan.
I honestly would. I would love to take a call from somebody who's a big Ryan Newman fan. You know, because to me, how do you even get excited for a NASCAR race if you're a Ryan Newman fan? I'd give up on NASCAR if I were a Ryan.
There's nothing exciting about Ryan Newman.
I mean, you know, could there be any worse trashing of Ryan Newman than to say I would just give up on NASCAR rather than sit there and root for Ryan Newman? Anyhow.
Well, and similarly, if there's any Brian Scott fans out there, you know, because I want to know
Brian
what the
Scott
Vegas over
drinking game. Every time he spins, you have to take it.
I was just gonna say, what's the Vegas odds on Brian Scott spinning this week?
Oh, all right. Let's get around to this here for a moment, real quick. Hey, let's take a look at our fantasy chase standings. I'm just checking down the list here real quick. Nobody who's in our fantasy chase won last week, so everybody right now has been shuffled around, and the standings now are going by chase points. Who's at the top? Hey, I am. Sidekick, your fantasy team's coming in number 5 at the moment, and Brandon, you're in at 6, number 6 right now. If all things were to remain equal, we're not in bad shape. All three of us not in bad shape when it comes to points. We're not below the line. Your second
14.
Team is currently number 14. That's correct. But anyhow, let's hear what you got for us.
Well, you know, I'm now going to be a hypocrite of myself from earlier in the show, and I'm going to...
He's going to put Ryan Newman on his team.
No. You know, we were earlier discussing, you know, the fact that, you know, you don't race any different in the chase until it's the third race. Well, seeing as how I'm sitting in the 5th spot and I want to make sure that I advance, I've sold my soul to the devil this week.
Jimmy
I'm
Johnson.
Running. No, I normally run Jimmy. I'm running the little girl, Matt Kenseth.
Oh, no.
I'm running Kyle Busch.
See, all Toyotas.
Wow.
Kevin Harvick, Chris Buescher, and Matt DiBenedetto. I was actually going to put another Toyota in for Kevin Harvick, but Kevin Harvick's too damn expensive for me to get rid of. So I'm going to hold on to him and pray that he actually does really good this race. I'm going with Matt Kenseth as my winner and Toyota as my manufacturer. For my Eat My Dust pick, I'm going with Matt Kenseth.
Wow.
So, in other words, in order to stay competitive, Sidekick is pulling out the ringers. He's pulling out the ringers and he's going
ready
with
to win the game.
I got you. With regard to our Eat My Dust picks, as I pointed out, it has been turned into a competition for number one, and then there's another competition going on for number three. Right now, NASCAR John leads all 842 points. Sidekick, you're in there at 824. Hey, I jumped up to third now at 709. Brandon's at 701, and loyal listener Liz is at 693. NASCAR John today is going with Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, as we just heard, Sidekick, you're going with Kenseth. I'm going to go with Carl Edwards. Brandon?
I'm going with Kevin Harvick. I just think he always seems to rise up when he has to, and I think he's going to advance with a win today. And he drives these flat tracks well. Very good flat track racer.
And loyal listener Liz is going with Jimmy Johnson as well. So we have two for Johnson, Kenseth, Edwards, Harvick. There you go. Nobody's got a non-chaser in there. All right, there you go. That's our program for today. Network programming reminder, be here Tuesday night. All NFL programs, 7 p.m. Eastern time for our Red Zone Blitz. Brandon and I will be breaking down what we can, what we're really going to be seeing here today. Watch Charlotte, folks. It could get a little dicey there. Protesters have already said they're going to try to shut the game down. This could get really interesting. But we'll be taking a look at what goes on the field. That's what we do on Tuesday night specifically. We take a look at on the field what happened the week before. You want to be here for that one, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday night, our regular flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern time for that one on Thursday night. And then I'll be back here with you next Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. Excuse me. There you go. That's our program for this afternoon. I'm going to go close up the shop here at the garage. You go get out there and enjoy your sports. Most particularly, enjoy your racing. Have a good time.